David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Advisor with Stacey Chalemi. Today, I'm very excited because we have a very special guest today. It is author Mark Stopher, and he is not just an amazing author. He also is really well-educated when it comes to Christianity, and he has focused a good portion of his life on helping others and helping others recognize different areas of life and how Jesus and how Christianity can make such a difference in your life. And today we're going to talk about what people need to do in order, in these scary times, in order to make peace with God. And, you know, as you know, there's so much going on in this world. And sometimes we just need to take a step back and look at how we can make peace with God. And he's going to show you how today in our discussion. And if you really like this episode, don't forget to subscribe and to follow. And I also want to make sure that you know that Mark also has a podcast on our channel that you can go directly to, and it has all his podcasts that he's recorded, and he has a whole bunch that he's going to be recorded in the future. He's also part of our podcast community. So if you want to send him a question, or if you have any comments that you'd like to share with him, please feel free to. You can go right directly to his podcast and send him any kind of comments. And at the end, he'll show you also where you can contact him personally. If you'd like to directly contact him in an email or website, you'll find that out too. And just so you know, one thing about me that you may not know is that I'm really good at puzzles and I am horrible at juggling. So, you know, I know a lot of people like to know things about the person who's hosting the show. So that's one thing about me. I'm good at puzzles and horrible at juggling. So right now we're going to go straight to our special guest. And Mark, it is a pleasure to have you. Can you briefly introduce yourself and tell people a little about you?
Yes. And it's a pleasure to be here talking with you again, Stacey. My name is Mark Stopher. I'm from Ohio. I live in Ohio all my life, and I'm retired about a year ago. I've been a civil engineer for my whole career, and my wife is from Iran, and she's just wonderful, and we have a son and a daughter, so that's in a nutshell who I am. And I've been a Christian since after college, and that's been everything to me.
Now, before you turned to Christianity, what was your, did you have a specific religion that you were brought up into?
Well, I was brought up in a traditional church. It was very ritualistic Christian church, and I didn't get it. They really didn't talk a lot about God. It was a lot of repetition of prayers and things like that. And there were sermons, but I was a kid and it was over my head. So yeah. I didn't connect with it. And right. So anyway, I did grow up going to church every Sunday, but I didn't connect with it.
Right. And that's very understandable. A lot of people are like that. And a lot, you know, later on, you know, they find a religion and they find a certain church that they feel comfortable with and they connect with, and it changes your life. But sometimes, just like a doctor, you have to try different things until you find the right one for you. And, you know, when you talk about, you know, finding peace with God in these scary times, it is such an important topic, because there's so much going on in our world. And there is so much, you know, between wars and between people just having so much hate and anger in themselves and inflicted it on others. There is constant issues going on in our world. But, you know, if everybody took the time out to find peace with God, I think the world would be such a better place. Now, why did you focus on that, you know, specifically? Why does that mean so much to you? And why do you feel that you need to express it to all our listeners in the world around why it's important to actually focus on finding peace with God?
Well, so twofold answer. Number one, The prophecy in the Bible is amazing. And in the Old Testament, the last words, and they were prophecy, were written about almost, not quite, but almost 2,500 years ago. And the New Testament was written, finished writing in the 90s AD, so coming up on 1,950 years ago. And much is written about the end of time. Mm-hmm. And for Christians who study the Bible, almost universally, people are saying this is a very scary time. It looks like we're approaching the end of time. And I've looked up a few passages we can go over later. Mm-hmm. That'll, rather than me just saying that, will speak much louder than I could say. But make peace with God, I think that's everything. And as I said, as a young man getting out of college is when I did that. And eternity rides on that. Mm-hmm. Do you want to have peace with God? He offers it mm-hmm. through Jesus. Jesus came down to make that possible for us, to undergo the penalty for us. And he's offering it. He knows each of us. He knows me. He knows you. He knows everyone. And he loves us. Every person on earth. And he's offering that, but he's not forcing it. So you don't have to make peace with God, but eternity's riding on it. And not only that, but peace in this life, peace with God and peace with yourself, a deep peace that can only come from God is riding on it. And there's a lot of, this is just cosmic, but I believe there's a battle raging in the heavenly places over the souls of men. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of misinformation about God. God is good. And he gets blamed for a lot, but he's good and he loves us. So, yes, I think this is the most important topic we can talk about.
Yes. And what is your intake on how people can find peace with God? A lot of people, like you said, they get angry because their life has obstacles in it. Their life is not perfect. They are feeling pain, or they go through life with, trauma. And if God loves me, then why is he doing this to me? Or they look around in the world today and they see so much going on. If there's a God, why is he doing this to me? Why is he doing this to all these other people? Why is there so much hate in this world? And people will go and they'll direct it to the devil. And, but it's not good enough for a lot of people. A lot of people are like, I don't understand what's going on in this world. I don't understand how to find peace because there's so much anger in this world and there's so much pain inflicted in my life. How do I find peace within myself? How do I find peace with God? How do I keep that strong belief when I see so much around me going on and so many lives being hurt? How do you find peace with God? Do we start with ourselves? Do we, is there a specific way that you personally had find peace with God?
Well, I think it's so rich of a subject, and obviously I don't have all the answers.
Right.
It's beyond me. It's beyond all of us. The suffering, I can't begin to explain what people go through, but I have a few answers. And I think, first of all, I don't find peace with myself. I think peace is a gift that God has given me. Mm-hmm. There's a verse in John 7:17 where he quotes Jesus, and he says, let me look it up real quick because I want to get it. So there it is. Jesus says, I'm missing it. I'm sorry. But if you're willing to do the will of God, Jesus says, if you're willing to do the will of God, you will know whether what he said is true or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so if a person is, they don't really care, but they're mildly interested in Christianity, it's going to go over their head. But if you really want to know, if you really want to know if it's true, and if it's true, then that means that you're willing to listen to God and to follow his will, then Jesus promises you will know. And so when a person gets to that point, through their circumstances, whatever they are, oftentimes they're suffering or they're going through a trial, but sometimes actually people are having good circumstances, but for whatever reason, they reach a point where they're like, you know what? I want to know more. I want to know the truth. And there's something in us that says that Jesus is true. There's something in us. I believe that. So anyway, if they turn to God with that attitude, they will know. And then
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
And he has ways to do that. They can read the Bible and all of a sudden they see exactly what it means. Or they may find a Christian friend, or they may already have a long-term family member and who starts talking to them and answering their questions, and they understand it. It makes sense, whereas it always went over their head before. And the message is very simple, and everyone's heard it. But if you turn to Jesus and say, I want your gift of forgiveness that you offer for my failings, for the things I've done wrong, for when I've hurt people, you're offering me forgiveness because you paid the price, and you're offering it as a gift, and I want to receive the gift. That's it. And that's all anyone has to do. You don't ever have to go to church or join a church, or that doesn't mean anything. It's, do you want peace with God? And that's how, according to the Bible, you make peace with God. And what I found is that when I took that step, that I experienced a peace like I had never experienced in my life, a deep peace. I wasn't high. I was fully sober. You know, and I was going about my day and working and having my friendships and enjoying them and all the things and playing sports, all the things I was doing before. But I had a deep, profound peace in my heart, and that lasted weeks. And then slowly it kind of subsided, but there was still a change that's been there ever since. That was over 40 years ago. But so I say peace is a gift that you get. I suppose it's possible to achieve a level of peace in other ways through exercise and a number of things. And those are all fine. But a deep peace, I believe, is a gift that comes from God.
And how did it feel to receive that deep peace? Was it a different feeling that you've never felt before? Is it, you know, how did it feel for you?
Yeah, it was deeper than anything I'd ever felt before. Obviously, we all have highs and lows. We have victories and we have defeats and those kinds of things. But this was just a peace. And it was, I think, as I recall, a peace in my heart, knowing that no matter what happened in my life, I was going to go to heaven. And the most important thing in my life was settled, and it always would be. And I can count on God. He is faithful and he is powerful and it is real. And he infused my heart. I didn't realize this. He infused my heart with it in a very powerful way. And many Christians, if not the great majority of Christians, will say the same thing, I'm sure. So, you know, if you're hearing this, ask a Christian in your life and see what they say. I'll bet they echo what I'm saying.
And was there anything that you had to start doing in your life or changing your life to get to this point where you felt peace with God?
No, there's nothing you have to do. Although, as I said in John 7, he says, if you're willing to do the will of God. And so you have to really want to know, and you do have to be willing to follow God. And I was. I reached that point. But for me, it never felt like, oh, now I need to follow through. Now I need to do what he wants me to do.
Right.
But rather, I found that I wanted to tell people about this peace I had found, which is a very normal response for new Christians to want to say, hey, I found the truth. And they want to tell everybody, people they just meet, people, their friends, their family. And so I wanted to do that. And I did that and told people about Jesus. And then also, you know, he just came into my life and started healing wounded spots in my life. Like for me, you know, being a little vulnerable, I wasn't good at finding girlfriends. And he came in and healed that. And I wound up getting friends, a lot of friends with young ladies that were platonic. Mm-hmm. But it made me understand, instead of being scared of girls, I became comfortable and understood them to a much greater degree than I did before. Yeah. And he just kind of healed that area for me. Right. And he comes in and he provides for your needs and heals you. And, you know, instead of being, I'll tell you, for me, I was insecure. And so unknowingly, just I would just insult people. Now I understand it. I was trying to lift myself up by putting other people down. I didn't even realize. I knew I was being insulting. I knew that, but I didn't realize why. And he comes in and he pours love in your heart. You feel secure in a way you never did, and you don't need to do that anymore. Right. And not only, you know, you don't become perfect, of course, but he brings about transformation slowly over time. Some of it's easy. Some things are surface wounds you can recover from. And some things are deep-seated wounds in your heart, deep-seated patterns where the Bible calls it sin, where you hurt people. And that takes decades maybe to improve gradually. But he starts working those kinds of changes in my life. And, you know, and it's something you want to cooperate with. But although I fail often, but I want to be a better person. So these are the kinds of things it means to be a Christian.
Do you feel like the power of prayer helped you, or communicating with God in your own personal way has helped you find peace with God?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Reading the Bible is kind of one way to hear from God. Those are his words. And then praying to God is to speak with him. And he responds to that too. Mm-hmm. So you hear from him there in your life. But yeah, prayer didn't come as naturally to me, because there would always be an aversion, like, oh, I'll pray after I do my chores or something. But to the extent that I have, it's been great.
That's wonderful. Now you've written quite a few books and they've all done exceptionally well. Can you tell us about some of the books and maybe one of the books that I know that pertains to today?
Yeah, so I'm writing a series of four books to Jewish people about the Old Testament, because Jesus claimed, again in the Gospel of John in chapter 5, that he was debating with some of the religious leaders, and he had some conflict with them, as many people know. And he said, "You guys search the Scriptures," which is today what we Christians would call the Old Testament. And Jews would call that the Bible because they don't recognize the New Testament. But he said, and that had already all been written. And he said, "You search that Bible of yours." And he said, "It's all about me." Mm-hmm. That book was forecasting me, and that I would come to solve the problems of humanity. And so those, my four books are about that verse. I examine different aspects of the Old Testament to see, is that true? How strongly does the Old Testament, Jesus said it's all about him. Is that true? And how strongly does it forecast him? So the second book is about all the messianic prophecies. And today I wanted to kind of talk about the end of time and some of the prophecies about the end of time. And but the second book is about the messianic prophecies, which were twofold. Number one, his coming 2,000 years ago. And number two, his return at the end of time. And there's plenty of those prophecies in the Old Testament about both comings.
Do you feel like the end of times is near?
I do. I really do. And I just feel it. I don't know when exactly, but I don't think it's far away. It just seems to me that geopolitically, I just feel like there's wars always burbling, and someday I fear there will be a World War III. And we're, there was a quantum leap in technology and weaponry between World War I and 30 years later, World War II. World War I started with horses and cavalry, and they did, and they, the machine gun became prominent in World War I, but they were still fighting with trenches and lines of men charging each other with bayonets. And World War II, of course, ended with the atom bomb. So look at that change in 30 years. So I shudder to think of the technology that we don't even know about. And of course, we do know about the proliferation of nuclear warheads among many nations, enemy nations, rogue nations. And they didn't have that in World War II. Just at the very end, America got it. But what is that going to be like? So I fear that. I fear all the conflict. And then, too, morally, the change in society over my lifetime in sexuality, sexual expression. In politics, we just had an election. In the open brazenness of the insulting of the other candidate, it's not gentlemanly, it's not polite, it's not a polite disagreement. Like I think back to the, I was just born in 1960, but we've all seen video of the Kennedy Nixon debate. There was no insulting each other. They just got up and spoke their position on whatever the policy question was, and it's so different today. And you just saw not that there weren't issues in society. There certainly were in the 50s and 60s, but today there's just a lack of respect you see in the way people treat each other, people they don't know. There's a growth in violent crime that we see, and things like brazen shoplifting, people attacking people on the subway and things like that. I'm not saying that never happened or didn't happen, but it just, maybe I'm wrong, but it feels like it's growing. And I don't know if that's, I see it more because of cell phones and video. Maybe that's part of it, but it feels that way. So I don't know. That's my answer.
I think it's a little of both. I think it was there, but I don't think it was as much as it is today. I think there is definitely a huge growth in a lot of the things that are happening, and we definitely have a lack of respect for other human beings. When you had the other elections, or you had people speaking to one another, you didn't see such lack of respect. People, they spoke their opinion, and their opinion was valid. And it doesn't mean that my opinion, if it's different than yours, that you're any less of a person, or you're wrong or I'm right. It was our opinion, and we respected that. Where you don't see that nowadays, when people have a difference of opinion, people get very temperamental, and emotions start to play, and they take over, what we really, they take over, and everyone's entitled to their own opinion. Everyone is entitled to feel the way they do. But in our society today, people take action, and not a healthy action. They get very bullying, they get very angry, they say things that are impolite and, hurtful to other human beings, and it leads to more and more terrible things. And it's like a bad energy, a negative energy that just rubs off on more and more people. And what kind of example are we leading, and where is that going to lead us in the future?
Yes, well said.
But
Yes.
for your books, what is your goal for your books? Because your books are doing really well. You really want to get the message across to people, and you're focusing on the Jewish community, and hoping that they will see things from a different light and different point of view. What are some of the other things, that you really want to get across? Especially, you were talking about the end times. Is there things that you feel people need to start changing in our society, and before the end times is near? Are there things that we need to be more aware of? What's your view on the end of the time, end times?
Well, I'll tell you. So my view is, taking the question, your question, the way you asked it, I don't think the answer lies with society or humanity at large. I think what's going to happen is going to happen. And I, in my heart, like all of us, it brings me sadness to see society going downhill in different ways, and I want it to improve, and maybe there'll be some improvement. But I think that the way, this is what I think, the way God views your question, I think that right now he is sprinting all over the world, in different cultures, everywhere, reaching people with the good news of Jesus to go to heaven. I think he's, like I said, sprinting. I think he's working furiously, and that's what he's doing now. I don't think he's trying to save this world and see it, what's the word? See it revive or rally, and for things to get in a better place than they are today, people to love each other more, and countries to get along better and work together to solve the problems of humanity. I don't think God's is concerned with that. I think he's concerned with individuals at this point in history.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion, capital at risk.
And I think that as Christians, those of us who are Christians, that's where we should be focused. Yes, absolutely. We should vote and participate in civic, life. Sure, go to school board meetings and have your voice heard. Absolutely. But I think that we should be following God, trying to respond to his love in our hearts to be a better person, to be a better mother or father, husband or wife, neighbor, and to where their people are interested, to tell them about Jesus, to tell them about what we found. I think that's the role for all of us.
Do you think that God already had planned the end times? Do you think that he already had a plan and a journey for all of us? Or do you think that our behaviors kind of shifted us into the journey, into the pathway we're leading right
Stacy, your questions are so rich.
now?
I think he can see the future, and I don't think he caused the future. That, there have been times of upheaval and just heinous evil and downfall of societies and so on. And he would come in, and address that just in very limited cases. And I think the end of time is one of those where evil is going to spiral out of control. But he knew that he could see the future. I think his plan all along was to redeem individuals. And in our lives, he has a plan for each of our lives. Those of us who turn to him, he has a plan, and he has important work for each of us to do, not just pastors, every Christian, people to love, people to reach for him. And so I, that's the best I can do with your rich question.
No, I think it's a great answer. I feel that, situations are put in our paths, and it's how we choose to take control of those situations, and how the decisions we make can lead us on a good path or it could lead us on a bad path. And a lot of times I think when we're connected with Jesus and we're connected with Christianity and God, I think we actually get a guidance and we get direction, and it's our job to choose whether or not we're going to follow, the directions that we're getting, because I believe that we all have the answers within us. We have to listen. You know, we're being told the answers, but it's us who we have to connect with God, and we have to connect with our higher sources to understand what that direction is, what we need to do. You know, there are a lot of times where you can wake up and you just know the answer, and you don't know how it got there, but you just know this is what I need to do. This is what has to happen. And and it's not by coincidence. I don't believe in coincidence. I believe that, everything happens for a reason, and it's our choice to either follow what, has been put in front of us, or choose not to do it. But if you are Christian, if you do have, a strong belief in whatever your belief is, you will know the answer, and you will know the right direction to follow, I believe.
Yes, I agree. Let me read one passage. This, I don't know this. I've never heard this by a movie expert, but in my opinion, what I've heard the most quoted from the Bible is Psalm 23, where, in the King James, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," I think that might even be in some rap songs. I'm not sure, but the second most quoted passage, I think, and I could be totally wrong, but is here from Revelation. And I think people will recall that they've heard this. So here it says, it's talking about, this is from chapter 13, which is about the Antichrist, the world leader, the evil world leader of the final 7 years of history. And it says, he causes all, the small and the great, the rich and the poor, the free man and the slaves, to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And he provides that no one should be able to buy or to sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast, that's a name for the Antichrist, the beast, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for the number is that of a man, and his number is 666. So I think that's famous. And as we read that today, it makes so much sense. It's saying that unless you get this mark on your hand or your forehead, well, why on your forehead? Because they want to put this mark on every person on earth. Well, some people don't have hands, so they'll put it on your forehead. And I believe it's some form of a barcode or a QR code that they can scan, and it's your number. So it says you can't buy or sell without, unless you get this number, and you have to pledge allegiance to the Antichrist to get the number. Unless you pledge allegiance to him and get this number, you can't buy or sell anywhere on earth in any store. So, today we all use credit cards, but the problem is people can steal our credit cards or electronically. I don't know how that works, but I know there's a tremendous problem with that. So, but what there will never be a problem with is if you have a unique number, one unique number for all 10 or 11 billion people on earth, however many there are, and you have to scan your own. Only you have that code, and you scan it, or even on your computer when you go to Amazon, you scan, you'll have a scanner. That'll be a standard part of a computer or your cell phone. Maybe it already is, I don't know, but you'll have to scan your hand, or someone, or your wife will have to scan your forehead if you don't have any hands. I don't know, but this makes sense today. And the 666, I think that's saying it's an 18-digit number that's unique to you. I'm older than you, but there was a famous movie in the 70s with Gregory Peck, The Omen, and they've remade it. But in that original one, and it's about the Antichrist. In the original one, I think it was a dog or something that I'm not sure how who came up with that, but they're saying that the Antichrist was born of a dog. I don't understand that. But or maybe it was the Antichrist. It's been a long time, but they peeled the hair back and they saw the tattoo 666. Well, they didn't, there was no databases in the 70s. There were, they didn't have scanners and all these things. But so I guess what I'm saying there is, John, this was the same John that wrote the Gospel of John, wrote the book of Revelation in the 90s AD. This is amazing. I mean, this really lines up with our technology today. And of course, back then, the technological level was, you know, yeah. I think they used spears and swords, and that was the height of technology, you know.
Right.
And so for him to write that, and this never made sense.
Yeah.
How could, down through the ages, how could anyone control everyone on earth and who can buy or sell? That alone didn't make sense, let alone this number 666. But it makes complete sense today. So there's another reason why it feels like we're getting to the end, because all these things that didn't make sense are making sense.
Yeah, it does. It definitely does. You know, we've been talking a long time about the end times, but it definitely, the world has, you know, in the last couple of years, you know, has gotten worse and worse and worse. You know, we've gone through many, you know, wars, and we've gone through a lot of different things, but we are at a point where there is, you know, there is so much anger, hate, disrespect, you know, wars going on left and right, for, you know, and I never understood that personally, because from the beginning, you know, nobody ever wins in a war, you know.
Yeah.
So what is the purpose? Why? It never made sense to me, because nobody comes out a winner and nothing ever changes, you know. So it's usually one forfeiting. And, you know, and then there is peace for a certain amount of time. And then another issue comes up, and it's usually about greed. And it's usually about, you know, wanting more land, or wanting this and wanting that. And then the other side isn't willing to give that up, or power, you know, and power and greed, or, you know, and you see that today. And you see that in our world, and even in the world of politics, you see it. And everybody that has become greedy, and everybody that has become this obsession with power, most of them are fallen or have fallen already, you know. So where does it lead you? You know, it doesn't lead you anywhere. You know, if you keep with greed, and you keep focusing on power, you know, eventually you will destroy yourself, you know, or others will destroy you. So what is the point? You know, people get so wrapped up in things that they only see within their eyes, and they don't really see the big picture anymore. And it's all about them, where we need to take a step back and stop and really focus on what God wants for us, and peace with God. And when you do that, you take a step back, you take a very big step back, and it's not about you anymore. It's about everyone else. It's about gratitude, love, peace, serenity, helping others, giving back, you know. And, you know, the people who do the opposite are the ones that are destroying the world. But if we all could remind ourselves, you know, the purpose of why we're here and what God wants us to do. And it's clearly, and even if you look, if you go out, even outside Christianity, if you study all the different scriptures and cultures and religions, they all have the same meaning in their scriptures. It's all about the same thing. It's all about love, peace, giving back, receiving, taking, and everything. It's just a unified, you know, global, you know, way of living, where, you know, it's all about happiness, love, joy, and peace, you know, and that's what every religion is about. And, you know, so we have to, you know, my grandfather used to say all roads lead to one God. And, you know, it's not about who's right, who's wrong, who's better. It's about doing the right thing. And it's really about, you know, really connecting with your God. And, you know, for us, it's Jesus. But for, you know, for anybody, it's really learning to really understand that we shouldn't be takers. We should be given, and we should be, you know, sharing, you know, doing what God wants us to do, and be an example to others. And it's really everybody who is not doing that, I don't know how you can change somebody. You can make a horse go to water, but you can't make them drink it. So, we can only be examples. And maybe like you are doing right now, you're talking about Jesus and you're writing books and you're sharing to the Jewish community. And hopefully we could wake up people's eyes and hearts and minds and really make them think life differently, because the power of words is so, the words of wisdom is so powerful, I always say, because just certain words and certain scriptures and certain ways of examples can totally change someone's way of living and thinking, and it can have a an impact on another person and another person and another person.
Yeah. Well, you painted a very accurate picture of history, warfare and over greed and wanting other people's land and power. And I think you put it very well. And I think that's what the end of time will be. All that we've seen throughout history. That makes no sense. War, there's no winner in war. I agree. It makes no sense. It's wrong. And what we've witnessed throughout history, we're going to see at the end of time, but it's going to get out of control because of the weapons we have today. And so I think really the end of time is just more of history.
It's an advanced version of history.
And I think I was talking to my mom not long ago about this subject, and she said the same thing. What can we do? And maybe somebody has an answer, but I think the best, what I said is the best we can do is we is ourselves be a force for good through our words. I like the way you put that, but also just when you go to the grocery store, you can be the person that appreciates the checkout person. Although I know I'm 64 and there aren't many checkout counters left, but we do deal with people that cut our hair and our waitress or waiter, and we can be kind to other people and everybody we come across. So I think that's the best we can do, really.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I think, just putting a smile on somebody's face, appreciating others, trying to give back when we can, and just, being an example of what God wants us to be, being an example of what Jesus wants us to be is the best thing that we can do. And, we can't control others, but we can be an example. And the more and more people come out and try to be examples, just like you have good parents, you most likely you will be a good person, and just keep trying to be an example and examples. And that's the best I think we could do, is be an example. And before we go, I just want you to tell people a little about your books, about each book that you have right now on the market, and what each of them is about, and where they can find your books, and about the new one that you're writing also.
Okay, yeah. So I kind of already mentioned the second one is about the prophecies and the messianic prophecies specifically in the Old Testament. Do they forecast Jesus? And the first book, I deal with a sacrificial system in the Old Testament, which is there's a lot written about it. And so then I ask the question, well, does that really picture what Jesus did on the cross? And so we examine it, and it's very rich. In that book, I also look at the lives of some people like David and Moses and Joseph and some others who had striking coincidences about an area of their life with something, an area of Jesus's life. Sometimes a character trait, sometimes an event. Then we ask, but like I said, these aren't just casual kind of sort of coincidences, but striking. And then I asked the honest question, well, is this more than a coincidence? Was that put there by God, that area of each of their lives, that part of their lives to say when Jesus came to validate him, or is it just a coincidence? I'm writing the third book right now, and it's about God's plan. So starting with Adam and Eve when they messed up, right in that conversation before they left the Garden of Eden, God said some things to Eve about a descendant she would bear one day, the Messiah. And so he already had a plan ready. We were with God in a perfect environment, and we said, we want to do a different way. He said, now you have a choice. You don't have to stay here. Yes. And they rebelled. And he said, okay. And he kicked off a long-term plan that would give man a chance to return, mm-hmm. to be with God in paradise or heaven, you could say. And so that's a very long-term plan. And so in the Old Testament, there's key moments where God moves the plan forward and reveals more information about his plan. So then what I do is I say, I examine the plan as it's laid out in the Old Testament. And then we say, well, okay, now we know Jesus came 2,000 years ago. Is that fit what God said his plan would be in the Old Testament or not? So again, I'm going back trying to examine, does the Old Testament foreshadow Jesus as he said it did?
Right.
And so we're looking at the passages and we're breaking it down. And so anyway, and then there's a fourth book, but we could talk about that another time.
Okay. That's wonderful. Now, do you have, you have your books, but do you provide any services? Do you do any coaching, or do you talk to people and try to help them in any way?
No, I don't do any coaching. We do have available a half-day seminar for churches where we talk about the topics of my books and just, you know, some other things about related to this subject. And my wife actually will join me in that as a speaker. She's a much better speaker than I am. And so anyway, we do offer that, and people can contact me on my website if they're interested in that.
Great. Now, what's your website address for people who don't know it?
It is lovingkindnessofadonai.com. Of course, that's one word, lovingkindnessofadonai, ADONAI.com. So
I love it. Now, yeah. Before we go, you know, when I'd like you to just think about the conversation we have, and what are some important takeaways that you'd like to emphasize for the listeners today?
Yeah. Well, you know, we're all so busy as Americans, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that can distract us.
Yes.
With just the 100 things we have to do the next day. But there are times for various reasons where we take a step back and we think a little bit more deeply about life. And, you know, and we also feel a pressure from what's on the news about how things aren't really going all that well.
Yeah.
There's a lot of unrest, and it's 12 o'clock here. Can you hear that siren, tornado siren?
No.
Oh, good. I'm one block away from the elementary school and it's going off right now. But anyway, sorry. But yeah, so we all feel that pressure and it just doesn't feel good. So I would just say, read your Bible, mm-hmm. talk to a Christian, Google, you know, Bible prophecy about the end times. You know, if you don't know where to begin, go just see what Google says, and it'll maybe direct you to some good prophecies. And, you know, and then, you know, really what we've been talking about today is what's the answer. And I think the answer is that we can't control society. We can do our little part, but God wants to know you.
Yeah.
And I think that's the one key is Jesus. I think he's the answer.
Yes.
For heaven, and the answer for peace in your life now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe you have questions about that. I think God welcomes questions. So that doesn't mean you just have to say, okay, I'll just do what you say on the radio today or,
yeah,
you know, on this webcast. But I think talk to God, ask him your questions, talk to other Christians, tell them your questions, see if they can point you to some good answers. And, you know, pray to God, ask him, see what he does. And so I guess that's what I have to say.
I love that. And for people who want to purchase your books, where is the easiest place for them to go to find your books?
They're available on different platforms, but the easiest one is Amazon.
Okay.
And I have my ebooks priced low because I want to get that message out there. So they're priced pretty low.
That's awesome. I love it. Well, Mark, today has been an exceptional discussion. I really like the topics that you chose, and and just the information, the knowledge that you shared today was very beneficial. And hopefully you've inspired others to really go outside the box and to really think and to really start to maybe take a step back and to listen and to maybe even ask and see what the answers are within them, and to really learn how to reach out and to find out, ways that they could actually find peace with God. So thank you so much for coming on the show today, and I look forward to our future conversations.
Thank you very much.
You have a great day.
You too.